Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Walter, can you just turn around and wave to Tom Whalen in the news booth right there? He wants me to share with you that he installed his toilet all on his own this past week.
When is the flooding? Not yet.
And he said he was able to do it by listening to the show.
There you go.
All right.
I'll send you the invoice later.
Walter Assi from Renovco is here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very good.
Sleep deprived, but great.
Yeah. Busy week. I saw you on TV last night.
Yeah.
Talking about the construction holiday, I guess.
I told you I'm a TV guy, but you don't believe me.
You're the TV guy. I've got the face for radio. But one of the things you mentioned that is that it doesn't completely shut down. Some work still gets done, I think.
Correct. Like, for example, for flood and fire restoration, it's an emergency work designation. So that can keep on going on. If you have any jobs that are... for example, roofing that is leaking or anything that is urgent. Renovation jobs in general are not subject to the decree. It's mostly commercial CCQ and CCQ jobs that are supposed to be closing down, shutting down by law.
514-790-0800 is the number if you want to talk to Walter. He's here for the full hour. It's 1 hour of free advice. Sometimes you just need to ask someone something about making sure you do this right. This is the guy. We're going to start with Steve out in Sorrel. Steve, hi.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. What's going on? A crawl space issue, no?
Yes, I called about 3 weeks ago and spoke to you and Walter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I checked out my crawl space because I said that I had like a very, very high cost of electricity last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, this crawl space, so I went to look at it because it was kind of covered with like some linoleum and stuff like that. The floor is basically patio, kind of like patio blocks.
Okay.
That are like about 8 by 16, and they're about 1.5 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
And then close to the end of the farthest point of the crawl space, it's just earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like they stuck a couple of bricks there and like that. So like there's not much there. It's very damp and it smells a lot as well. So I'm wondering, what's my best way to attack this? Should I make a subfloor?
The quick answer to you would be no, not necessarily.
No. Okay.
Not necessarily. If you want the easiest, most efficient, and cheapest way, all what you need to do is invest in a 6 mil vapor barrier roll, plastic roll. You're going to be covering that area with vapor barrier.
Okay.
You're going to just make sure that you overlap the two sides, meaning don't keep any gaps in between.
Exactly.
Preferably if you can tape it down.
Yeah, okay, tape it down. I'm just going to have sweat. You beat me to it.
And exactly. And then and when I say tape it down, there's a very big misconception about the kind of tape. A lot of contractors, for some reason, they use a red tape for vapor barrier. That is inadequate tape. You need to use the blue tape, which is specifically for vapor barrier, because
okay.
The red tape does stick at the beginning, but eventually it will let loose.
It'll peel back.
That's correct. So
just tape. And how many millimeters?
Six mil minimum. Well, vapor barrier is usually six millimeters.
Okay.
Now, the reason we say that is very important that we mention that is because you do have thinner plastic, but it's not a vapor barrier.
I want to do it properly.
The thinner you go, the more porous the plastic is. So that's important to mention. If you try this, it's guaranteed to work.
Okay.
And at a very low cost as well for you.
I like the sound of that. Okay, I'll give that a shot, and I thank you very kindly. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, guys. They take a lot. Thanks a lot, eh? Bye.
That frees up a line at 514-790-0800 at 912. We'll sneak in Barbara in Montreal West. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
You want to talk to Walter about repairing cement outside the house, right?
That's right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Hello? Barbara. Yeah, you're on. You're on the radio. Go ahead. Okay. What do you want to talk to Walter about?
Well, I want to talk about, you know, it was supposed to be done last year, but they came in November, and I remember him saying that's not a good time. So I wanted him just to go through the process, and, like, once the cement is laid, what should be done? How do you take care of the, is there something I have to do while it's drying? And I guess we need dry weather, too.
That's a great question. So what you need to do is when the cement is poured, it needs to be watered. And
okay. The
more you water it, the better it is for the cement.
You mean once the cement, sorry for interrupting.
When it's fresh, when they pour it that day and they leave for the day, what you have to do is you have to water it for many, many days until it cures adequately. Because if the water evaporates from it very quickly, what happens is those microscopic cracks will start to show. And sometimes if it's really a dry day, you will actually have a potential crack in the cement.
Even if they make
expansion joints. Now, it depends on the condition, so I don't want you to panic just yet. This is what we always recommend to do. Your cement contractor... walkways is a bit less crucial, mind you, because it's not a big, big space. Like when we do a garage slab or a big slab for a floor, it is imperative that you water it for many days in order for the cement not to crack. The good news for you is it's a walkway, so walkways are not that much of a massive mass of square footage, so it doesn't really necessarily crack that much. But it's really preferable. The other thing I would tell you is obviously do not put anything on top like paint or anything for at least 28 days for the cement to cure adequately. So if you need to put epoxy on it, epoxy paint or anything like that, or even tile or anything, just leave it alone for at least 28 days. Let it do its thing. And then you could start manipulating it the way you want.
How do you know when you've given it enough water?
I use a rule of thumb. Usually, like if I'm pouring a slab, I tell the homeowner to do it for at least 2 weeks.
14. Okay.
So that is the magic number that I see. It always works. There's, you know, and sometimes what I say is to do it at least twice a day. Like if it's a big triple garage or four car garage. Even though you do the saw cuts in the concrete, it's not enough. It will still crack. So when the slab is bigger, you do it at least once in the morning and once in the evening. The more you actually water it, the better it is for the cement. And the less likely it is that you will have cracks in the concrete, especially when it's fresh like that.
Oh, wow. And how do you know when to stop? Does the concrete start drying or what?
When you stop watering, usually within 2 weeks you're in the good area. It's not like it doesn't hurt the concrete if you want to do it longer, mind you. So you could do it
But how do you know when you look at the?
Well,
concrete?
I mean, look, the concrete cures in 28 days, right? That the full cycle of the concrete.
Okay.
But I mean, within the day 15, it's hard enough. It's done its thing. It's like you don't need to necessarily go to the 28 day mark. But usually, if you want to do the 28-day mark, you could. It's just not necessary, I find.
Barbara, we got to run. I hope that was some help for you.
Just one last question.
Quickly.
You know, the cement, should it come from a big truck, or should there... Sometimes these contractors, they want to just mix the cement and pour it, eh?
So it depends on the surface. That's a great question, actually. It depends on the surface area. If it's a small area, it's fine. But if it's a big area that is going to require you to do many batches... I'm not fine with it because you're going to have different times of curing, different time of drying, and you could have potentially a problem between the two areas that are curing in different times. So let's say you're doing a walkway. If the guy want to do it by mixing by hand and it's a long walkway, then you might run into problems for sure.
All right.
There's also the consistency of the mix. How much water he used, how much, you know. So that's what I don't like about this thing. You have different consistencies, different times of drying, so it's only asking for trouble.
Oh, God.
And to be honest with you, and to be honest with you, someone that's doing a big job and doing it by hand, for me, that's not a professional cement guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's for the country, you know. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Barbara, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
We had a bit of sunshine this morning, but it's clouded over. 923 with Ken and Walter from Renovco. I'm not with Renovco, but Walter's with Renovco. Let's go back to the phone. Having one of those mornings. Sam's in Brossard. Hi, Sam.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the radio. You want to talk to Walter about an asbestos issue?
Yes. I had phoned 5 weeks ago when, unfortunately, I didn't get on the air when you told me to phone back. It's concerning. Is there any way to neutralize asbestos?
What do you mean by neutralizing asbestos?
Because, long story short, the building was constructed before the 1950s, and asbestos was used in its construction. There was a fire in one of the locales, and unfortunately, water did more damage than the fire, and they had to remove the asbestos. They only removed a portion of the asbestos, and there's a remaining part that the insurance did not cover. So I was just wondering if there's any least, because if when we want to sell the building, we have to declare that there's asbestos in the building, and they're going to take it off the asking value of the building. And we're looking at almost a deduction of almost a third of $1 million. So I was just wondering, because when they removed like 66% of the asbestos, it cost almost $500,000 to remove it, because it's not anybody that can do it, and you have to dispose of it in a special way, and hazmat suits, and the showers before entering and leaving an area. So I was just wondering, today, is there any technology to reduce that cost?
Okay. So number one, Sam, when we talk about asbestos, there's many things we need to talk about. Number one, where is the asbestos present in the material? Okay. And let me just elaborate more.
Right.
Asbestos, when it was used in different ways. And based on what material it was used on, we have different risk levels and we have different costs associated with those risk levels. Meaning, just as a brief overview, why asbestos was used. Asbestos was considered this indestructible, cheap fiber that was waterproof, fire-resistant, I should say, and it was in abundance in Quebec.
That's right, yes.
So they were using it in anything that they could put their hand on. They use it in vinyl tiles, they use it in plaster, they use it in drywall, they use it in insulation, and the list goes on and on and on. So the reason I'm asking is, if you tell me the building have asbestos tiles, that's not much of a big deal, because we remove asbestos tiles under level risk one, which is low risk level, that does not require the showers, for example.
Okay.
All the other things. We just need negative machines. Yeah, we just need negative machines. We need containment zones.
Right.
And that's the end of that story. You have to still dispose of it in special dumps and special containers, and have to be labeled and what have you. But that's another story.
Right.
Now, if it's in the plaster or anything that is friable, okay? In French, we say friable.
Wait, yes. That's right, yes.
That can disperse and become airborne.
That's right.
It becomes a lot more problematic.
Right.
Because what happens when you demolish it, the fibers go airborne, And as we mentioned before, these fibers are considered indestructible. So what happens, you breathe it down, your respiratory system, there's nothing to stop it because it's very microscopic in size. Mm-hmm. Our respiratory system can usually filter everything down to 5 microns, which is about 1/1,000,000 of a meter, if you wish. And most fiber and asbestos is below that threshold. They're 2 to 3 microns in size. So they go straight to our lungs. And the fact that it's in this indestructible fiber, it goes to the outer layer of the lung and starts puncturing and damaging the lung and so on and so forth. And a lot of it can cause other problems like fibrosis and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So in the demolition process, if this goes friable and it's airborne, then you are in a high risk environment, and then mm-hmm. you have to do all of these things. Having said that, it's a bit more complicated because when you do the asbestos test, we need to know the percentages of the chrysolite or the type of asbestos that we find. If it's below the Quebec standard threshold, it's not considered as asbestos contaminated material. So you could do it without putting any of these, if you want, protections.
Precautions in place.
Safeguards, yes, okay.
Okay, so it's important that we have that document in hand. We read it. We look, okay, if it's below the threshold, we're good, we're clear. You don't have to worry about it because the percentage is so small and so minute and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of questions to ask before we actually jump into conclusions. Because, yes, you might have asbestos, but if the percentages are below the Quebec standards, then you're good. That means you're asbestos-free, quote-unquote.
Where do you get this information? Do you go to, like, the government website?
You could go to the CSST website.
Okay.
I believe also the Public Health, Ministry of Health have some information about it, but CSST is a bit more elaborate.
Thorough.
Because they talk about the protections and everything else.
Okay.
Now, Sam,
yes.
Just to go back to your question, because I know I kind of went around the whole thing, but because you needed to understand the thing.
No. Everything that you've said, I've already researched or I've been told. Okay, yes, go on.
Okay, so
sorry.
At least it's fact-checked, right?
That's right.
Now, the reason what I want to tell you is the areas that are not demolished, if they are in solid form, they're not considered dangerous.
Right.
So it's not like mold. Mold, it's a life, it grows, it reproduces, it spreads. Asbestos, if you don't bother it, it doesn't bother you. So if it's plaster walls, the walls are in good shape and they're not falling apart and they're not crumbling, then you don't have a problem. So you could leave them alone and you don't have to worry. If they are crumbling and you don't have or areas that you need to address or you want to ensure that nothing flies or become airborne, you can always use encapsulants. So it's like a glue type sprays, if you want, just to make sure that the fibers stick to the material. So that will be my quick answer to you.
Okay.
And the easy way to get it done without going crazy removing all the asbestos in your building.
Sam, if you need to follow up with another question, I can keep you on the line because we have to do the news. Do you need to stay?
Yes, please.
Okay, hang on 1 second. It's 9:30. Let's head to the newsroom and come back with more here on the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Second half hour here with Walter Assey from Inofco. I'm Ken Connors. Kurt out in Ahuntsic and Edward in Longueuil. We haven't forgotten about you. We're going to get you momentarily. Sam, we're just going to wrap up with you. What do you want to ask Walter?
Okay. So let's say you have 4 rooms, one beside each other. So you have room 1, 2, 3, 4. Since there's water infiltration, we have to remove it because the asbestos has been quote-unquote, soiled, if I can use that term. Doesn't make sense to, so room 1 and 3 have to be removed. The asbestos has to be removed, so the whole walls have to be removed. Does it make sense to remove 2 and 4 that haven't been touched?
No. I mean, again, it's if you want to be asbestos free and do that investment and
right,
renovate, fine. But if you're just doing it because you're forced to do it, no, you're not.
No, because it's just for a selling
They're purposes. Selling. Okay, so here, let me put things in perspective for you.
Yes.
Okay. If it's all about condition, anybody right. that is buying a property that is built in a certain year mark between usually anything that's before the 1990s, okay, could potentially have asbestos in it. So a good home inspector would kind of signal that to the buyers. So anybody that is buying a 1960s or 50s home, he's buying that risk with it. It's not, oh my God, it's not like mold. Oh my God, you have mold. It's asbestos was used extensively in those years. And like I said, they were schlepping it on any possible
right, yeah.
Material they could. So it's a given. So I'm not so much, I would not worry so much about the selling aspect of things, okay? What I would worry about is the condition of the apartment if you have asbestos. So let's say, for example, you have plaster walls and the walls are cracking and falling apart and what have you and deteriorating. And really, I would be very, very careful because now I know that the fibers are airborne. Whoever living in that house is potentially could be... subject to asbestos fibers.
No one's living. Okay, yes, okay.
But if they are in good shape, right. then I have nothing to worry about because the risk of exposure is extremely minimal.
No, yes, okay.
Okay.
My last question: if you are a general contact, which you are, and you're interested in purchasing a building that is gutted. Is that worth more to you than a building that has its, like the four walls that are standing?
So, again, it goes back to condition. If I have an operable condition walls that I don't need to renovate, for sure, it's better that I have something to work with, especially if it's an investment property that I don't
okay.
have to come in. And invest. We have to be very careful. I mean, that goes into a different subject altogether. But if a general contractor is looking at a property, he's also looking at sources of financing to the property. If you have a gutted property, it's much harder to get financing from a bank than a property that is semi-finished or finished, ready to rent.
Oh.
So, you know, sometimes we go in and you have like 10 apartments. If you tell me that this is a 10-apartment building and they're all gutted, it's going to be a much heavier load on financing for someone. And a general contractor might look and say, okay, you know, it needs renovation, but I'll do it one apartment at a time over the next 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Especially with the interest rates now and everything else. So you have to kind of really weigh it like that. Don't mm-hmm. just think I'll keep it bare unless you are ready to have, to take a hit on that and, you know, the price is right, then maybe it's another subject. But but you're going to be catering to a lot less people by doing so. That's for sure.
Sam, we got to run.
Right. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
You're
have
welcome.
Have a nice day.
You too. Let's go to Kurt, who's been waiting patiently in a Hunsick. Hi, Kurt.
Hi.
Tell us about that air conditioner.
Okay. So I got this air conditioner. It's very good condition. The only thing broken with it is the fan blade. It's rotating loose on the rotor.
Mm.
So I'm trying to, for 2 years now. I'm trying to get someone to fix it. And as soon as you mention a window unit, nobody wants to repair it.
Okay, nobody wants.
So
to...
is there a place? Actually, is there somebody that could do the repairs? You know, I find it hard to believe that. A city of 3.5 million people, and there's no one to fix a air conditioning unit.
Okay, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because air conditioning unit like window mounted air conditioning units are becoming more and more obsolete.
Obsolete, yeah.
And the technicians that are fresh out of school have never opened one. You know, it's not like the old timers that used to have to work with this all the time. So that's one challenge you're going to have, and I get it. The other reason why they're becoming...
It cost me $2,000. I'm not going to throw it away just because a blade is no good.
Yes, let me just finish my points, and then I'm going to get back to you on that.
Okay, all right.
All right. So the other reason that they're becoming more and more obsolete is because of a lot of landlords are prohibiting them if you have a rental unit.
Oh, yeah.
There was an incident by which one air conditioning fell and hurt someone. So, you know, new rules came out and what have you. So it's becoming more challenging to find them and to maintain them, if you wish.
Right.
I remember way back then, I don't know, 30 years ago, where, you know, you could rent them even, mm-hmm. and they would come install them and take them off at the end of season and so on and so forth. We don't see that anymore, obviously, because of all the portable units that you can just put in the house and what have you. So your best bet, who to find to repair it. You are better off finding the smaller companies, the mom-pop store.
I've looked over 20 companies. I go on the what you call it internet, and look for window units. It says window units in the internet. I call up window units, and it says, "Yes, window units. Well, we sell central systems now." So it's kind of false advertising, right?
Yeah.
They
so
get you in on the window unit, and they want to sell you a. By the way, I'm a tenant, so I wouldn't change. I wouldn't do it for a. Central system, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I want to take it with me when I move out.
I get it. So, I mean,
and it's brand new, it's 18,000 feet to you.
Okay, we know. Hang on, Kurt. But are you referring to like the local handyman?
Yeah, the local, I mean, local ventilation stores. There, if you can, even you know, funny to say that, but some ventilation stores have shops. Like, I know there's one on Côte d'Elias. You can just walk in, maybe grab it with you and bring it there to them and see
I'm
if they
80
can
years
you.
Old. There's one guy in St. Lawrence Street said, if I bring it, I'm 80 years old. I can't lift it.
Right.
I can't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what,
I told
Kurt,
the guy, I pay you double. Just come and pick it up. Just change the fan blade.
Okay.
Yeah?
Kurt, I'm going to make a call to one of my ventilation guys. I'm going to explain the issue that, you know, about your age and everything else. I can't promise you anything, but I'll see if he can help you out with this.
It's wonderful.
All right. And we're going to put you on hold for a second, Kurt, and take your number down. Just 1 second, all right? 9:45. That means we're going out to the roads and coming right back with Edward on the South Shore in Longueuil. Manny, we'll get you as well. We'll sneak in before 10 o'clock.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio. CJAD 800.
Just like Tom Cruise, Walter, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to get these two calls in before the 10 o'clock news. So we'll see. And he does all his own stunts, by the way, just like Tom Cruise.
That is true.
Edward's in Longueuil. Edward, thank you for waiting.
Thanks for taking my call again. It's about a hot water tank that is in a room in my condo. Mm-hmm. By the way, we have the auto shut off valve in all 24 condos. They finally installed it. Can I name the company, or because I wanted to give the information about the how it works? Hello.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't catch that.
I didn't get you,
sir. Edward, just repeat what do you want to ask Walter about the water tank?
Okay, so it's the water tank, the reservoir. I'd like to know if they rent. Hot water tank.
If you can rent a hot water tank.
Yeah, with Walter's company, you know,
The only company that I know of that rents water tanks is Hydro Solutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know about it, yeah.
Yeah, so...
But I'd like to know if you do it also?
We don't. We change hot water tanks, but we don't rent them. But with Hydro Solution, it's the good thing about it is they do the installation, they remove it when it's expired, they do the maintenance if need be, and you only pay a certain amount per month.
So it's hassle free, really. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to know. Let's say I buy the tank, because my old tank has to be removed because I want to paint that room. And change the floor, and then install the new hot water tank.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be in September, October, you know? Mm-hmm. Does your company do that?
Yes. Let me ask you, what is the age of your tank?
The 10th year will be in October.
10th year. So your tank was manufactured 2013. One thing I want you to be careful of, Edward, in your planning, and that is a common mistake that is done, is just be aware, if it's a 60-gallon tank or a 40-gallon tank, the rules after 2015 were changed, and you are requested in the new tanks to increase insulation. So the circumference and the size of the tanks is different. The reason I say that, because in condos, sometimes it's stuck in between two cabinets, or it's in a restricted space. So
mine is in a separate room, only the hot water tank and the electric room.
Okay, good. If it would have been restricted, I would have asked you to go and measure or actually research the specs from the web in order to see what the new specs are.
There's a lot of room.
Okay, good.
I also have the automatic shut-off valve, the remote automatic shut-off valve. So all in the same room on top of the hot water tank.
Okay. Well, it's good that you're doing it all at the same time, in the sense that you are timing your painting and the water installation at the same time. So that's, you can take it out, get the painting behind it done, make it nice and clean underneath it, maybe shim the floors, because the tank have to be nice and level.
Yeah.
If you're replacing the floors, and then you can have the hot water tank. But again, if you have budget constraints, the only company, as far as I know, that rents them is Hydro Solutions.
Hydro Solutions, Edward.
So if I get your company to do it, I'll have to buy it from you all, or do I have to go to one of those?
Do whatever you want. We don't supply, whoever is going to do the job for you. If you are buying the material, they won't guarantee the components or the parts. They will guarantee the labor component. So if you are calling a plumber to do it, or any company, it's always better that they supply and install. That's for anything you do in rentals. So you can get the warranty on both parts. If not, you're going to have a problem getting the service, because who do you blame? Do you blame the part, or do you blame the labor?
But the reason why I'm asking you is because your company can take the tank away and the room will be empty, so I can paint and also change.
Anybody that changes those tanks would do that. So that's not an issue.
There you go. All right, Edward.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We're going to quickly go to Manny. Hi, Manny.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We have a couple of minutes before the news. So you have an issue with a new roof?
Yes, I do.
Go.
Yeah, I've been trying to get you guys for 4 weeks.
Okay, go
I'm
ahead.
So happy I got you.
Go ahead.
Walter, I had the roof done last year, and what they did is they kind of put a new membrane up there. I didn't put a gravel roof. I have a duplex, and the membrane goes right to the tip of the roof. They did a good job on the whole roof, but as soon as it rains, all the water leaks off the roof and onto the building and onto the ground, in front of my door, in front of my garage. I can barely get out of my house without getting a shower. What is that? What did they do? They did something wrong, because my neighbors did the same thing, and none of them have any. The water was running so hard the other day, it fell into the drain in front of my driveway, in front of my garage door, and it came up inside the garage.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a gutter system around your roof?
No.
You don't have a gutter system.
Nobody has that around in my neighborhood. All right. Everybody has some kind of a flashing, are they calling it? I don't know what they're calling it.
So you have it probably what you call it, because you have a flat roof, so you probably have a parapet wall, meaning you have a flashing cap on top, right?
There's nothing there, Walter. I just keep getting
impossible. You cannot not have something. When you have a flat roof, you're gonna have to have something. You can't have.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there. No. I'm sorry. It's like a skating rink that just has no boards.
Okay.
I paid extra money, Walter, to have a slant put in, because they had to take off two old roofs.
So you just said the magic word. You paid extra money to make a slant.
Yeah.
And the waterfall that you're seeing right now is due to that slant. So the roof is doing its job by slanting the water away, because you wanted to increase the slant. Because probably before you used to have water puddling or accumulating in a certain area and not draining. So now they did their job and they gave you the slant, and now the slant is causing that waterfall. And that's, you know, that's the problem when you correct one thing without thinking about the domino effect of that correction, unfortunately. If you send us a picture, maybe we can, because it's very hard to visualize, but you might need to install a gutter system or correct that slant to make it less pronounced.
Manny, we're putting you on hold, and we're going to give you the address of where you can send the picture to Renovco, to Walter, and we'll try to follow up on this for you. So don't go anywhere. We had to wrap things up, Walter, because the clock said it's time to go.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for a great hour.
My pleasure.
Walter Assey from Renovco. Thank you, Jimmy. Lisa's ready to go. Celebrated her 30th anniversary last weekend, don't you know? 30 years of answering car questions, half of them from Tom Whalen. Don't go anywhere, all right? We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. Thank you, Jimmy.